Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Monday night. We haven't had many Monday shows here recently. We're not going to have a lot of shows, period, here moving forward. We've talked a lot about it. The Cardinals, they are going into a month of June where they are going to be very, very busy. Only a couple off days the entire month today, and then a couple Mondays from now. And outside of that, Cardinals are playing every single day. Most of those games are night games. So we've got a 2-hour show today. Glad to be able to have it. We just won't have many in the month of June. As always, if you want to join us, you can do so by calling, texting, tweeting, or leaving a video message. If you call or text, the phone number is 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. If you tweet at me, it's at Matt Pauley on air, MATT. PAULEY on air. And if you are watching us on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, you can leave a comment in the video chat, and we will see that as we go along through the course of the program. We have a busy program tonight. Bernie Miklas. You just heard a lot of Bernie. You're going to hear more Bernie coming up in about 10 minutes or so. We'll have our weekly conversation with him here on Sports Open Line. He's going to join us, and we'll try to talk about some different things than what we talked about during the entire Redbird Rush Hour today. Then at about 6:35, Scott Braun is going to join us. He is the host of Foul Territory, one of my favorite baseball content producers. So we'll talk with him. We'll talk with Alex Matheson, who is a long snapper for the Battlehawks. They wrapped up their regular season, and they now go into the postseason where they've got an opportunity to play both of their postseason games. If they continue to advance, they've got an opportunity to play both those games in St. Louis in front of their home fans. So we'll talk with Alex coming up in just a little while. And then at 7:35, we'll talk with our friend Mark Emmert from Cardinals Magazine. New issue is out, and we'll go through the different stories that they've put together in this month's magazine, which they always do an amazing job telling great stories. If you don't pick up Cardinals Magazine on a normal basis, or if you've ever thought about subscribing to it, I would encourage you to do so. That's one of those things that, you know, we're, remember, I don't know about you, I don't know how old all of you are, but for me, I'm in my early 40s. Like, my entire life until fairly recently, every single time Sports Illustrated came out, it's like, read that first thing. I can remember being in high school and being in middle school and going into the library. And, you know, it's Sports Illustrated Day. It's ESPN the Magazine Day. It's Sporting News Day and opening those up. When I met Dave Kindred, who was the back page columnist for Sporting News for so long, he was somebody who I read on an every single week basis. And there was, you know, anytime you opened up those magazines, you would always open up Sports Illustrated and go to the last page so you could read Rick Riley. Same thing with Dave Kindred. And we've lost that a little bit in today's media because of digital. And there's probably more really good stuff now than there's ever been before because of the ability to create it. But there's something about getting the physical magazine and reading really good stories. And that's what they do at Cardinals Magazine. And I'm happy that I think it is a credit to the organization that they continue to produce that magazine. They have multiple full-time staffers. They put a lot of resources into it. I have no clue what their bottom line looks like, but I think in many ways, it's probably a labor of love for the Cardinals organization. So we always love having people from Cardinals Magazine on because we want to promote it to give them the publicity and hopefully maybe get you the thought of either subscribing or next time you're at a Cardinals game, going up and buying yourself a copy of the magazine. So we'll talk with Mark coming up at about 7:35, and that's what we're going to do then. Cardinals had an interesting week. They didn't play great baseball. We can say it that way, but they go 500 on a road trip. You go 500 on a road trip. I don't really care who you're playing. You don't have to be happy about it, but at the same time, I don't think you should be sad about it. Like it is a perfectly fine result. Now, some of the games when we, instead of taking the step back and looking at all six games and saying, you went 3-3, that's okay. If you take that step forward and start to dive in a little bit, were there some things that happened, especially in that Rangers series, that were a little bit alarming? Yeah, losing in two of the three games, giving up a combined 19 runs, not great. There are some areas that this team did not play well in. I think it's an important thing to do here because sometimes the natural inclination is to look at a period of time where maybe play drops off a little bit, or a period of time where certain areas of your game drop off a little bit, and just start waving red flags and yelling and screaming and going hot take crazy on it. And that's not what to do here. That's not what's to do here. So what we should do is look at the areas that let down a little bit this past week. Defensively, they didn't look great. They've been as good of a defensive team that exists in Major League Baseball this year. They had a tough defensive week. Pitching has not been as good. Starting pitching and relief pitching. Now, to be fair to relief pitching, a lot of that came in those two games, the 11-run outing against the Rangers on Friday, the 8-run outing yesterday. But the relief pitching has not been quite as good, and that is something to take note of. Offensively, against the Rangers, they scored 4 total runs over 3 games. That's not good. You'd like to see them do a little bit more than that. So it is perfectly fine, I think, to look at something and say, okay, this wasn't quite what we've seen here recently that allowed the Cardinals to really get back into contention and put them in a pretty solid spot. But I think you take a step back and you wait to see if this plays out. And we talked about this during Redbird Rush Hour. I try not to just repeat everything that we said for the hour before because you don't want to hear the same thing over and over and over. But this next June is a really important month for this team, especially between now and really now and July 6th. So it's June 2nd now. These are the series that you play between now and July 6th. So the next, let's call it a month, but it's a month plus. You play Kansas City, the Dodgers, Toronto. So of those three, you've got a pretty good Kansas City team that you should be able to have some success against. The Dodgers are great. Toronto's not a bad team. Feels like they've been playing some better baseball recently. Then you go into a stretch where more often than not, you're playing divisional opponents as you go Milwaukee, the White Sox. I know the White Sox aren't a divisional opponent, but I'm just telling you who they are. Milwaukee, then the White Sox, then Cincinnati, then Chicago. A respite with Cleveland away from divisional stuff, and then Pittsburgh and Chicago again. So between, let's do the math here, between June 12th and July 6th, you play divisional opponents every single series except two. You have a three-gamer against the White Sox and a three-gamer against Cleveland. And outside of that is nothing but divisional opponents. When they get done with that stretch, and when they get done to that stretch, it's going to be a week out from the All-Star break. But when they get done with that stretch, you're really going to be able to look at this team and see where they kind of fit in the National League picture. All right, we will take a break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Bernie Miklas. He had an interesting column today that ran over at Sports Hub STL. He writes just about every day doing his Redbird review. We're going to go through some of what he had to say today. I've got some questions for him. We'll do that next. It's the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. What you are getting a lot of Bernie Miklas right now, and that's a really good thing. We love having Bernie being part of the team here at KMOX. He was just on with us for the Redbird Rush Hour. Now with this being our only Sports Open Line this week, this is our only opportunity to get him on. The conversation being brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling. It is, as mentioned, Bernie Miklas rejoining us here on KMOX. Hey, Bernie.
I tell you what, man, Dave Glover show today, Redbird Rush Hour, now this. I love it. I love it. But I disagree with you strongly that people think it's good to hear me this much. But I still love the opportunity.
Well, we're glad to have you for sure. I wanted to do something a little bit different than what we did during the Redbird Rush Hour. And I was reading your Redbird review earlier today at Sports Hub STL. And you mentioned a lot of what we talked about on Redbird Rush Hour, just some of the areas that the Cardinals have not been as good at this past week or so. And I mentioned the defense and the bullpen and hitting. And I think we all kind of agree during Redbird Rush Hour, you got to let this thing play out a little bit longer before you start to really get worried about stuff. That being said, I'm going to ask you to do the exact opposite. Are there any of these things here recently that did get to a point where you're maybe a little bit more aware of what's going on?
Well, I've been kind of tracking this really since late April or so. And the Cardinals are just playing too many games where they score one run or no runs. And the only reason why I think it's relevant is because, first of all, needless to say, their record is lousy in those games. But the other thing, they're way up there among teams in Major League Baseball in terms of the highest number of games where you score one or no runs. The last time I checked, they were tied for like fifth for the most games like that. And see, that's just too much. It's going to happen every now and then, but it's been happening too frequently, in my opinion. And so the consistency is the challenge. And to be consistent, you know, what's related? I mean, they score four runs at Texas, and I'm not trying to overreact to that because it's good starting pitching there. But then again, they didn't do anything against the Texas bullpen. And the problem is, and, you know, and this ties in a lot of things. We had a question from one of our listeners on Redbird Rush Hour. It's like, well, what do you do to freshen up the lineup? I don't really know that you can freshen up the lineup all that much. I mean, the problem is you have, and I'm not going to get into numbers. I'll just give you the names. Since May 1st, Newt Barr, Scott Walker, Arenado, Pajes, and Gorman are all well below average offensively. And so they need some of those guys to heat up if they can. Burleson and Herrera and Brennan Donovan and Wynn and Contreras are all at least 20% above average offensively since May 1st. But they've got to get more guys into that. And Herrera, even Herrera's cooled down recently. I just think it's consistency. I really do.
With Newt Barr specifically, it's actually incredible that the Cardinals just had one of their best Mays ever when their leadoff hitter hit 231 with a 286 on-base percentage and a well below 700 OPS. We all know how talented Newt Barr is and the things that he can do, but bluntly, we really didn't see a lot of it in May, especially over the second half of the month.
Yeah, and I think, you know, he's a smart guy, and I think he's figuring it out. He made some comments after he had that really big game in Baltimore last week where maybe he was being too aggressive. You know, he was going up there with the intent to swing and do damage right away instead of when he's at his best, as you know, and I think Cardinals fans know, he's at his best when he's taking pitches, making the pitcher work, wearing him down, and counting for a pitch that he can drive. So I think he just got a little overly aggressive. And I expect that he'll temper that and he'll get back on track.
It's actually interesting to me and kind of interesting in a bad way because it has felt like the thing that has held Newt Barr back throughout his career is injuries. And not just injuries, but that time when he comes back from injuries, it always took him a while to kind of get back going. Well, he stayed healthy this year, yet he's had kind of this lull. And it feels like that goes against sort of his career arc where, generally speaking, if he's staying in the lineup, we don't see him take those steps back. The steps back always come back after injuries.
Yeah, and you know, I'm going to go back. You're right. I'm going to go back to something you said. It actually speaks well of the Cardinals that they had such a great May without their leadoff hitter having a good May. And it speaks to, you know, there's some people. I think when Ollie Marmol moved Mason Wynn up to second, I think Mason Wynn's been so good batting second that kind of offset Lars Nootbaar's cold spell or whatever you want to call it. So that was a really good move by the manager. So I think Ollie Marmol's always trying different things. So when we talk about freshening up the lineup, more consistent results, I think they're pretty limited in what they can do. And yeah, I know what people are thinking. Thomas Ajayi, Thomas Ajayi, Thomas Ajayi. Hey, I get it. I'm not saying that that would be wrong, but I wonder how much he would actually play. And listen, they have got to get at-bats for Nolan Gorman, whether people want to hear that or not. They just have to.
Well, they finally have the path. There's three things right that can happen right now. Two of them are connected to the Jordan Walker injury. They can play him more now as a DH the times Herrera catches, and we really don't know how often that's going to happen. You're able to get him over at second base if you play Donovan in the outfield, which you can do. And then we talked about the Redbird rush hour. Maybe you find a day or two more often, days off for Nolan Arenado. So that always existed, but now really two of the three things that I just mentioned are directly connected to the Walker injury. If Walker's only going to be out for a week and a half, you almost have to try to take advantage of that and get Gorman some at-bats.
No doubt, because his strikeout rate's way down, his swing and miss rate's way down, his chase rate's way down, but he hasn't put it together in a way that leads to results. But his habits are much better in terms of plate discipline. But the only way he's going to put that into use and to get some traction is by playing, and he's got to play.
Yeah.
It's simple as that.
So, like, it's a process, Bernie. It's a process of fixing things. So they've talked about it. They're allowing him to basically reduce bat speed as a way to make contact more often. So if that's step one, then step two is find your productivity to go along with a little bit of a different profile of a hitter. And when it's a step-by-step process, you have to try to see the results of that in games. And it feels like they're still sort of stuck on step number one because there's just not enough game time for him to get the results that he needs to be able to react to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, you're right. And boy, one thing I wish that Brant Brown had entered Nolan Gorman's professional life before this season, because I think the plate discipline issue would have been significantly improved even from the very beginning of his major league career. You know, so, but you have to take a step back sometimes as a young hitter who's a free swinger. You got to step back before you can move forward, and that's kind of where this has been. So, but yeah, the people are like hollering to trade him. No, they're not going to trade him. I'd be stunned if they did that unless they got the proverbial offer that blows them away and they just can't refuse it. But it's very dangerous to trade him because he'll go somewhere else and hit 38 home runs and you'll never hear the end of it.
I do think there's a shelf life on this whole thing when you consider that whether Nolan Arenado is an untradeable commodity right now and JJ Weatherholt's on the way. Like, you know, 1 + 1 can't equal 3.
No, I agree. They're going to have another logjam, and it's been a been a whole thing of log jams. And listen, one idea I had, and everybody knows because I've hollered about it, you know, I like the idea of Ivan Herrera at DH because he can't throw anybody out. I also don't want to see him get hurt beyond the plate. But one way to work Gorman in, and listen, we all admire Pedro Páez, you know, good, just really good defender and all that stuff, but he just isn't hitting a lick, and he hasn't for a while. And maybe you get some offense behind the plate with Herrera, and you just do the best you can with trying to throw out base runners. And then that's a way to slide in more at-bats for someone like Gorman, who could play third base or he could play first base, not first base. Well, I guess he could, or he can be used at DH, as you said, more than he has been.
It's scared. The one thing that scares me about all this, and I shouldn't be scared about something that's going to impact maybe two or three games over a 162-game season. It's crazy to be scared about it. But I've watched this team and I've watched Oliver Marmol long enough to know that if it is a one-run lead in the eighth inning, Herrera's out of there, and they're going to get Páez in defensively. And the thing that sticks in my mind is the other teams get tied up. It's going to be the 10th inning. You're going to have a runner on at second, and it's going to be Páez batting instead of Herrera.
No, you're absolutely right. That's certainly in the back of everyone's mind because that was a problem with it before Herrera got hurt. He was getting pulled out of every game where he was a catcher. Just anytime they had a lead. And I think Ollie, who's done a really good job overall this season, but I think he was too quick a couple times to make that switch.
Mary Lynn says, Bernie, I love Bernie. Have him in every day.
Well, that's nice. You know, I guess she likes cranky old men. Right?
That's a path I don't want to walk down, Bernie. So we'll let you go on that one. Of course, we can't let you go without asking you to tell us a little bit about Saliga Heating and Cooling.
And by the way, I appreciate the compliment. Thank you very much. Just kidding. Saliga Heating and Cooling is a Daikin Comfort dealer. And they've been in South City on Gravoy, as a matter of fact, for the entire time they've been open. The Saliga family, since 1927, still in the same building, still taking care of new generations of St. Louis families, including the Miklas family. We've relied on Saliga for a long time. We know that Saliga sets a standard for honesty, knowledge, professionalism, prompt service. They're classy in your home. In our experience, we never had to worry about Saliga being upfront with us. And they've always looked for low-cost solutions to save us money instead of trying to sell something to us. They just want to take care of their clients. You know why? Because they have this great family name and family business, and you don't mess that up. You don't do damage to that by trying to hustle somebody. If you play it straight and you're honest and you save your regular clients money, they're going to get the word out and your business will continue to grow because people trust you. So Saliga services all makes and models. I want you to look at their priority club maintenance plan, which will save you money by extending the life of your current equipment. You're going to receive priority scheduling with that. You'll have the comfort of knowing your home is safe and ready for all seasons. So become part of the Saliga family by having your family call Saliga when you need help with your heating and cooling. To find out more, go to SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com, SaligaHeatingAndCooling.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
It's an off day for the Cardinals, so we've got a full two-hour edition of the program. Tonight is a Gray Bar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Very happy to welcome back onto the show this next guy. He hosts the Foul Territory program, and now we've talked to him about, I think the last time we had him on, they had not yet started the Cardinals Territory show, which our good friend Katie Wu and, of course, Bernie Miklas, who we just had on as part of the team here at KMOX, they do that. But Foul Territory is great to watch on an everyday basis. It is Scott Braun. You follow him on Twitter at Scott Braun. Hey, Scott, how are you?
Matt, I am great. And yeah, thanks for the plug, Katie and Bernie, doing a great job there. A lot of player interviews and obviously more fun to launch a show like that when the team is surprisingly good.
Yeah, we've talked before about where this team is at. What is your level of surprise that this team has played really just solid baseball most of the season this year?
My level of surprise, I would say, is a 6 or 7. I feel like some people are more in the 9 range. For me, entering the year, I thought some people were looking at the Cardinals on way too much of a pessimistic basis. I'm like, yeah, it's a disappointing offseason, but they didn't really lose anything. So if a few things go their way, I'm like, this is not the world's best division, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe they compete, and that's what we're seeing. And also, I mean, there has been young talent in this lineup that you're waiting on to blossom. I do still believe in many players hitting their prime in the 25 to 31 range. I mean, we've got some guys that are in prime territory right now, like Lars Nubar and Brendan Donovan. So I've been pretty impressed, of course, and I don't think I'm as surprised as some of my co-hosts on Foul Territory. Let's put it that way. I think I was catching some flack from some of my co-hosts where I was like, the Cardinals might be okay. I'm like, I could see them finishing 500 or even, you know, being in the wild card race for a while. So that's what they're doing. They're in second place in the division. I would say the biggest disappointment right now, Matt, is the fact that we don't get Cubs Cardinals for another few weeks. I'm like, damn, this would have been a fun litmus test year to just pit those two teams against each other, but we got to wait a while.
Yeah, and they'll play twice in a short amount of span. Their first series against each other goes June 23rd to the 26th here in St. Louis, and then they'll go to Wrigley for a 4th of July weekend series. But you're right. I don't know. I'd like to see more like them build the schedule where you have a lot of divisional matchups early on in the season and late in the season. In the middle of the season, you mix in a little bit more of the interleague and other divisional series. Again, putting together a schedule is tough, but I think to your point, I mean, the Cardinals have played a million interleague games in the first month and a half of the season. They've played their first 9 games are all against interleague opponents. That's not exactly the way to get real excited for the start of a season.
No, I'm with you. I would love to see a little more juice early on in the season when attendance can be tougher, too. It can be colder outside. A good way to get people more excited is to spark up a rivalry or two. And also, Yeah, I would say the variety is more important in the middle of the year, where it's like, oh, cool, the Cardinals are facing some interleague opponent and some player that, you know, we usually don't get to see. Okay, I'm in for that. So I'm with you. I think beginning and end of the season is most ideal. Of course, you got to leave some games towards the end of the year, because then there's playoff vibes to it when teams are fighting for a division crown. But yeah, I'm looking ahead at the June schedule for this team. And I mean, Matt, it is not easy coming up. Damn. I mean, they, you know, obviously I know it wasn't a great weekend for them against Texas, but Kansas City's good. They're going to have the fire of one of the top prospects just called up in Jack Caglione. I'm sure people in the area know all about him. Dodgers, Blue Jays are playing better right now. Brewers are on fire. This is a tough couple weeks coming up for the Cardinals.
Where does the Jack Caglione debut rank for you in terms of prospects right now across baseball who are right about at their debut time?
I'm a huge fan. Jim Bowden's our resident GM on our show, and he dropped a Matt Olson comp, and I really liked that for the kind of power that he can bring right from the jump. And I do agree with him. One of the flaws that's pointed out with Caglione is his chase rate in the minor leagues. It's a little high. And I thought that manager Matt Quatraro of the Royals brought up a perfect counter to that point. He's like, yeah, have you seen the wingspan on this guy? And have you seen him barrel up baseballs that are off the plate? Now, sure, do you want someone swinging out of their shoes at a pitch, you know, a foot off the plate? No. But when it's like a baseball or two off the plate and Jack Caglione goes opposite field for a home run, you're like, okay, that was a good chase. I'm okay with that. Not for most players. There's many players that really have to find their zone. But for Jack Hags, he's super aggressive, and sure, I'm sure he's going to have to make an adjustment at one point with pitchers kind of finding his weak spot or holes in his swing. But I'm really excited. I think this is the top need for the Royals being answered with a prospect who looks ready to go. The Royals have no outfield pop and barely any outfield offense for the past couple of years, and yet last year they were a pretty damn good team. So this is perfect timing. There's going to be a lot of excitement. And for a Cardinals fan, you're like, do we have to play the Royals when this is going on? And also, they're still in a pretty good stretch of baseball. Yeah, but it should be exciting to be able to witness a guy who has potential to be a 40-homer bat.
The Royals tweeted out the video of their AAA manager, Mike Gerschle, giving him the news in the office. Are you like me that you can never get enough of those videos, that they're just the best?
I love them, but I just don't like if they feel too staged. How was this one? I haven't seen this one yet.
It felt like Gerschle was like asking him questions about how he's feeling about things, so on and so forth. And then he told him, and at the end of it, they asked Caglione, like, what did you think you were being called in about? And he said something about like hitting the knob of his bat on something, and he thought he was in trouble for that. So it seemed pretty real, because he said that he thought he was getting called in to like kind of be talked about not doing something some way.
Well, good. I appreciate it, because there's so many of these now, and this is a big prospect call week because we're right around the Super 2 deadline, which for the sake of time, someone can look that up online. But we see Jacob Melvin with the Astros, Cole Young with the Mariners. These are top-end prospects for those particular organizations. So I don't catch all of the call-up videos, but I'm glad you brought this one to my attention. Now I have it queued up right when we get off. I'll watch it, and we'll probably show it on the show tomorrow.
It's pretty solid. It's good stuff. We're really going to the weeds on this one. It feels like the Super 2 stuff doesn't quite impact things as much now, especially with the rule changes and, you know, guys, if they're in the top three in voting at the end of the year. It just, over the last couple years, it feels like we don't talk about that as much as we did previously.
Yeah, and this is a product of a really successful negotiation in a collective bargaining agreement, Matt. I mean, we get into this stuff, of course, on our show, and get the player perspective and then get the ownership perspective. This is something that needed to be fixed, right? You can look at some classic examples. There were tons, but you know, Chris Bryant was the best hitter in spring training 20 whatever, right? And they're like, oh, he needs to work on some made-up thing, and it's really just waiting a few weeks for his service time clock to dip back one more year. It was a narrative that I felt was taking over our sport at times. And now you still have people screaming and crying for prospects to come up, but it's a little more buried in terms of why the call-up isn't happening, if that makes sense. Yeah. So like Red Sox fans right now are calling for Roman Anthony. They also have a pretty good outfield, so it makes it a little bit tougher, even though he should still be a part of that mix. I agree with you. I give a lot of credit to both sides on this one. There's plenty of fighting that goes on between ownership and players. This is one where they both finally agreed that it's becoming way too much of a storyline, and the point of Major League Baseball is to have the best talent in the world. And there were way too many cases where the best player at a particular position for a particular organization was being held back just to extend the life of his contract with a team. It's still a thing. That's why we're seeing these contracts or these call-ups at this point. Super 2 means that basically the player can get more money because he'd have 1 year of arbitration instead of a league minimum year. But it's becoming less of a storyline, which is good.
We're talking with Scott Braun. You see him on Foul Territory TV, whether you watch it on TV or whether you watch it on YouTube, Twitter. They're all over the place, and they do a really good job. A lot of times you see it prior to Cardinals games, things like that. Scott, just kind of going back to the division, because it's not a really good division, but Cubs have a fantastic record. I don't think anybody really expected them to be where they're at right now, even if people viewed them as maybe the best team in the Central. Like you mentioned earlier, the Brewers on a really good run right now. Cincinnati has showed that they can play with just about anybody. How do you evaluate this division right now? Are the Cubs as good as they are from a record standpoint, tied for the best record in the National League?
I think there are a few teams that are scarier than them, yeah. But it's a pretty special offense right now. And a problem with the team the last few years has been the bullpen. Man, their bullpen's on fire ever since late April here. I'm looking right now at 2.48 ERA since April 19th. This, to me, has to do with Craig Counsell bringing some of what's gone really right with the Brewers for years over to the Cubs. People forget that you don't just, like, snap your fingers and an organization changes. So David Stearns goes over to the Mets. Craig Counsell goes over to the Cubs. The Brewers have done a few things really well for a pretty long period of time, and one of that is on the pitching front. So that's a problem. That makes the Cubs very scary because you can be a big market team. You can spend at a pretty high level, but you still have to win at the margins. For as much flack as the Dodgers get for spending so much money, they also do a lot of little things like find those gem relievers or sign a player that anybody could have afforded, and somehow they pull that off. I would say the example right now is Alexis Diaz was the primary closer for the Reds for the last 2 years. Apparently, he's so broken that the Reds don't even want him on their roster anymore. They trade him to the Dodgers. There's a chance that it never works out, but there's also a chance that, he's 28 years old and he becomes himself again and the Dodgers got a steal. So to play to what the Cubs are doing, I think you're going to start to see more of that from them. When some organization is doing something really well, you want to try and take one of their best brains, and that's what they did with Counsell. So I think that's working for the Cubs right now. Obviously, PCA, Pekar Armstrong's a MVP candidate. So, Matt, when I'm summing up the division, I like the Cubs. I think they're a strong contender to win the division. I think the Cardinals are going to take a step back at some point over the course of this year. I think they're okay and more of a 500-ish team in terms of looks for me. What, they're 7 games over at the moment. I think the Reds are going to make a little bit more of a push. They're 29-31 on the year. Obviously, the Pirates are terrible. They're just a brutal team right now. But overall, I think the division still has the Cubs leading the way. Probably, I would go, if I'm power ranking it right now in terms of what I like, I'm going Cubs, Brewers, really close with Cardinals and Reds. I think they both look kind of 500-ish to me, and then the Pirates are a 100 loss organization. So hopefully that's the best way to sum up what I'm seeing right now. I think the Brewers are going to make more of a push, though. Young, exciting. They play the game, I think, to a style like the Diamondbacks have offensively over the past couple of years, but the Brewers have better pitching. So I think they're going to be a problem again. They've won 7 in a row, and it's real.
Scott Brawny, host Foul Territory, along with a good number of folks. You see A.J. Pierzynski and Eric Kratz and Ken Rosenthal contributes a bunch of folks, and then they've got affiliate podcasts and shows like the Cardinals Territory Show with Katie Wu and Bernie Miklas. Just fantastic, the network that Foul Territory is building out, and if you're not paying attention, you really should. Scott, appreciate the time as always, and we'll catch up with you again down the line.
Yeah, Matt, thanks for the plug. Always enjoy this conversation. Have a good one. Talk soon.
Awesome. Very good. That's Scott Braun with us from Foul Territory. We'll take one more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. So got a lot coming up in hour number two as well. Don't go anywhere. We're rolling through a Gray Bar Sports Open line here on a Monday night on KM.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Moex.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauly on King MOX.
Back at it as we do continue on. Just a couple minutes left here in hour number one of the show. Hour number two, we're going to talk with Alex Matheson. He's a long snapper with the Battle Hawks. The Battle Hawks just wrapped up a really, really good regular season, and now they're getting ready for the conference championship this weekend. If they win that, they'll go on to the league championship game the next weekend. Both those games will be played at the Dome. Whether they participate in the championship game or not, that's being played here in St. Louis. So no matter what, those games are being played in St. Louis. At least one of them will include the Battle Hawks. Both of them do include the Battle Hawks. And then our friend Mark Emmert from Cardinals Magazine is going to join us at about 7:35. A couple text messages that have come in. Robert texted in, said, when Jordan Walker hits the baseball solidly, it looks like a rocket both on the ground and in the air. It's very exciting to see and hear that. Jordan is such a physically gifted person. We have to stay with him. Robert, you're right on. And this is where, even though sometimes people roll their eyes at me when I talk about underlying numbers, because underlying numbers don't produce baseball, or they're not baseball card numbers. They're not average. They're not home runs. They're not RBIs. More often than not, they lead to those things. There is generally a direct correlation to, okay, this is a guy who hits the ball this hard. This is a guy who's got this kind of bat speed. This is a guy who puts the ball in the air. So there's a launch angle that goes with it. All of a sudden, you look at all these things and you say, okay, this person has a profile of an all-star, of a big-time player. And Jordan Walker has a lot of those components. Not so much the exit velo. That's something that he's still working on. He hits it on the ground a little bit too often. But to Robert's point, even when he hits it on the ground, he hits it hard enough that a lot of times it's finding its way through. And I'm not, like, I don't want him pounding it into the ground over and over and over and over again. But I'm not overly worried about that. They always say that when young players have the tools that are developing, that power is one of the last tools. Well, when we're talking about power in that sense, we're talking about home runs and doubles. When we're talking about home runs and doubles, we're talking about putting loft on the ball, right? And that's all exit velocity is, just lifting the ball off the bat so it goes in an upward direction, but not too much of an upward direction. So if he does enough now, if just the fact that he hits the ball so blank and hard right now, that enough are going to find its way through, and then he is going to occasionally lift one over the heads of the infielders and have it go for extra bases or have it go over the wall. If the numbers are good enough to keep in the lineup every day, that other stuff should eventually come around. I'm not a pessimist. I think folks know that about me. I tend to be fairly optimistic about things. The one thing I would say with Walker that concerns me in the very direct moment is I've watched him like you've watched him. I've watched him for a few years now, where the start and stop nature of his success, where we'll see something good and then that good will not be sustained. And even if the stint on the injured list is a short amount of time, even if it's the minimum 10 days, I do worry about if there's going to be a bit of a regression or a reset when he comes back off the injured list. I thought it was really important that he continued to play as often as possible with the numbers that he had been putting up for the couple weeks leading into his stint on the injured list. But nothing you can do about it except get him off that IL as soon as possible and get him back into the lineup. We got a lot coming up in hour number two of the program. More Cardinals talk as well right after the 7 o'clock news. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Into hour number two of the program. We've got a lot coming up at 7:20, so in less than 15 minutes, Alex Matheson from the Battle Hawks will join us. They're coming off a win in their regular season finale, and now they get set for the postseason, which will begin this weekend. And then Mark Emmert from Cardinals Magazine, he's going to join us at 7:35 to go through what is in this month's edition of the magazine. So that's all coming up. As always, if you want to chime in on anything that we're talking about, multiple ways to get connected with the program, you can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T. Pauley on air, or you can leave a message on the video chat. If you are watching us on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, you can just leave a message right there, and we'll get to that. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk here about Nolan Gorman recently, and we certainly talked about a fair amount during Redbird Rush Hour. Got a text message from the 217 that says Nolan Gorman does not get enough at-bats. And there's a little bit of an opening right now for Nolan Gorman to get some more at-bats while Jordan Walker is out. It's still not a direct thing. Like, Gorman doesn't play the same position as Walker, so it still takes a little bit of movement, and Alec Burleson is still involved in this. For the most part, you would think if the Cardinals want to put like their best lineup out there in terms of who's producing best right now, it's just getting Burleson out to right field and going there. But if you don't have Burleson in there, you're able to put Donovan in the outfield, and that opens up second base for Gorman. If you want to put Herrera behind the plate, DH opens up for Gorman. You can still have Burleson out in right field, and you can have Gorman DHing. So, and then you've got another bat in the lineup. So there are some things that you can do. We've mentioned Nolan Arenado maybe getting a day off more often here or there as a way to open up some third base at bats for Gorman as well. But generally, all that being true, but all that is also temporary, right? When Walker got injured, they said that it's expected to be a minimum time on the injured list kind of stint. And whether it really is just the 10 days or even if it goes on a little bit longer than that, barring some sort of unexpected setback, there's no reason to believe that this is going to be an extended absence. And then it's not even like a clear path forward to get Gorman more at bats with Walker on the injured list. There's just there's things you can do, ways you can make it happen. Once Walker's back, that door that's halfway open goes back to being mostly closed. And here's the situation the Cardinals are in when it comes to Gorman. Everything about him says he had, if you completely and totally unlock him, he's got the ability to be a big time, middle of the order, run producing bat. Something that any team would love to have. They haven't unlocked it yet. We are watching this year in particular, guys fix things that have been off. I think thanks in large part to Brant Brown, where Brown's been as good as any hitting coach out there in terms of finding the flaws and swings and starting to go to work to fix things. And it's a multi-step process. And Jordan Walker is a fantastic example in all of this because Walker's been working a long time and they'll fix one part and then they'll fix another. Like you think of a swing as just being one thing. Well, there's different things that go in. There's a bit of a domino effect. I'm not a hitting coach. This is a conversation I like having with Kevin Wheeler because he can use words that are better than I can in describing what's going on. But it is, you can fix one part of it and then you get that and then you make another tweak and you fix this part of it. Like it can be, it's a process. And the benefit that Jordan Walker has had as he has gone through this process and as we've seen the hitting numbers get a little bit better for him recently is the fact that he's in the lineup more often than not. So he's able to work on something and then he's able to take it into a game. And that's where the problem exists with Nolan Gorman, just about actually getting him enough at bats where he's able to work on stuff and then see the results of it in games. So when the texter from the 217 says Gorman does not get enough at bats, I agree. I think Oliver Marmol agrees. If you go back to the story that was written by Katie Wu in The Athletic maybe a week ago, week and a half ago, whenever it was, maybe it's been less than a week, I don't know. I just know I read it and it was good. Oliver Marmol talked through the different things that they are doing to get players at bats and what they're doing with Alec Burleson and what they're doing with Jordan Walker and all those guys. And he said, if you went back and you read that story, he said, Ollie did to Katie Wu, that essentially the one name that you're not seeing is Nolan Gorman. And it is a struggle to find a spot for Gorman to be able to get that run of at-bats that you want to see him get. So you have that part of it going on. And then the other part of it is how this roster is going to look moving forward. Because I don't think Nolan Arenado is going anywhere. At this point, to trade Nolan Arenado, it truly has to be a perfect storm. You have to get a team that wants him. You have to get a team that he wants. You have to get a team that has a deep enough lineup that they take him on, knowing what he's going to do from an offensive standpoint right now, where they really just want him for his defense. But they can also be a team that can pick up enough of his salary that the Cardinals see it as being something that makes sense. Because the Cardinals are not going to trade him away where they're eating most of the salary. I think they set a number when they almost got that deal done with the Astros. It's probably about at the same point. Now, the one thing that the Cardinals do have going for them is every day that goes by, that's one less day that's on his contract. And his final year of the contract is a pretty reasonable number. But that being said, to me at this moment, the Arenado contract looks mostly like an untradeable contract to me. So you have Nolan Arenado not going anywhere. You have J.J. Weatherholt, who's on the way, and Weatherholt could very easily be in contention for the everyday second base spot for opening day in 2026. And don't forget about Thomas Tejesi. you can't just leave him at AAA and say, okay, this guy's going to go do a really good job, and you're never going to see him back in the big leagues outside of injuries or something else that's going on. Like, at some point, Sejacy either needs to be part of the big league team, or you utilize him in a trade to go pick something else up. And I don't think that's something that the Cardinals are jumping to do right now with where this organization is at. So there's kind of a ticking clock here in terms of even having the at-bats that you would have available now for Gorman, which is almost none, versus what the roster would potentially look like in taking a step back a short amount of time when a Weatherholt and a Sejacy are probably going to be there, and they're all kind of playing the same spot. So I don't know what the Cardinals do. I don't completely know what the Cardinals do. I do. The one thing I do know is when you get the opportunities to play Gorman, you take advantage of those opportunities, and you get him in there, and you see what you're able to get out of him. I think what they have done recently with him, where the bat speed has it's been taken down purposely with the idea that he makes more contact. He's got enough power in his bat that he doesn't have to have the super elite bat speed. He can be a guy who takes a little bit off of that and make sure he makes contact, and he's still going to hit plenty of home runs because of his natural power. That's a good place to kind of start this process of where they're at right now in the swing. You just want to see an opportunity for him to get those at-bats where you can see if it is working or not. So if you want to chime in on that at all, feel free to do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900. It's 314-436-7900. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or you can leave a message on the video chat as well for those of you who are watching on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. And you can do that right there. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we're going to talk some Battlehawks. They just got done with the regular season, but they hope that they've got two more games of football left as the Battlehawks open up the postseason this weekend. Their long snapper, Alex Matheson, is going to join us in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're locked into a Gray Bar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Exciting things happening right now for the Battlehawks as they wrapped up the regular season, knocking off the DC Defenders 13-8 over the weekend. And now the postseason begins, as coming up on Sunday evening over at the Dome, they are going to play DC again. It was a rain-drenched game this past weekend, which made the job for Alex Matheson that much tougher. He is the Battlehawks' long snapper. He was also just named to the All-UFL postseason team as the top long snapper in the league, and he joins us right now. Alex, thanks for taking some time with us. Congratulations on the honor. I know there's more that you guys certainly want to accomplish, but it's a cool thing for at least right now.
Yeah, I mean, thanks for having me. We're, classic phrase, job's not finished, Really want to get further than we did last year and, get over the hump and bring that championship home to St. Louis.
Two of the four special teamers on the All-UFL postseason list come from the Battlehawks, yourself, and then your kicker, Rodrigo Blankenship. It just goes to show the strong special teams that you guys have had all season long.
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty big focus on special teams. Kyle Caskey, our special teams coordinator, is second to none. We're meeting with special teams, all four units, every day. Every morning at 8 a.m. we start with special teams. It's a huge focus, and I think it's helped us win a lot of games. And then personally, me getting all UFL, a lot of it, especially the long snap, a lot of it's just based on Rod and Sterling just crushing the heck out of the ball. So I just got to give a shout out to Rod and Sterling for having great years so that, my name can be put on something. But, it's a team award. If the punt team doesn't block and cover well, I'm not on it. So that's really really going to work for the whole unit.
Yeah, it's a really good way to look at it. You mentioned the work you guys do. You guys all the teams train in the same area down in Texas during the week, so I'm sure you have conversations and talk with guys from other teams. Do you get the sense that there's more of a focus on special teams with St. Louis than there is for some of the other teams in the league?
Yes. No, there is. So in the specialist community, kickers, punters, and snappers, a lot of us train together in the offseason. So, you know, I have friends that we play against and we talk to them, and a lot of them in these other teams are a little jealous of St. Louis and how much we actually focus on that part of the game. And it shows on game day, time in, game in and game out. You know, the work and the focus that we put on special teams really comes to light. We hear it from other guys.
Was that about as challenging of a, of an environment to long snap as, I mean, it was wet, it was rainy. I can't imagine. And your coach mentioned you by name. I mean, what was it like in that environment this past weekend?
It was interesting. So DC always has, they play at Audi Field, which is a soccer stadium, which is perfect. They get a good amount of fans. So not only was there weather, the environment there is not very friendly to opposing teams. We have a good rivalry. But the rain, that wasn't even just rain. It was coming down. There was puddles on the field. I'm sure you could see it on the broadcast even. It's just all the light reflected. We do, two drives, and then we go back into the locker room for another lightning delay. It was, it was tough. But personally, I grew up in Wisconsin, played my college ball in Minnesota, all outdoors. So, the weather, haven't had to deal with it in a while. But, you just kind of rely on the experience and growing up. And, realistically, I learned how to snap in bad weather. So it was nice to have that experience to rely on. And then, having guys like Rod and Sterling, professionals, guys have done it for a long time at high levels. We just kind of have our little, cheats, tips, tricks, whatnot to help deal with the weather and get through games like that. So a lot of it's just experience and, relying on each other and just trusting it. And at the end of the day, having fun. You don't get to play on a grass field with that much, mud and water very often. Feels a little bit like old school football. So just try to take advantage of the opportunity to, play in an adverse environment.
Did everybody have that feeling of, okay, let's enjoy this one? Or is that maybe a split locker room where some folks have your attitude towards it, but some would rather a nice sunny afternoon?
It felt, for the most part, like guys were excited about it. Because especially it was week 10, and we kind of had, the playoff situation locked up. We were playing a lot of guys who were just itching at the opportunity. But the vibe for all of us was it just really seemed like guys were having fun. It's one of those games where it's like, all right, you can't really control the weather. You can't control it's raining. And now I'm not going to speak for the quarterbacks. I can't imagine that they were too psyched about it. But it really did just seem like the vibe of just like, all right, old school football in the mud. Let's, have fun. Let's get down there. Let's get dirty and, make them regret stepping on the field with us,
You've gotten some NFL opportunities. You spent some time on the Rams practice squad. You spent some time with the Baltimore Ravens at a rookie minicamp. I know at the end of the day, like the overall numbers that you put up are going to be what they look at. But do you also look at that as a situation just to kind of show your overall skill set that you can go out there and you can be a long snapper pretty much no matter what the environment might be, which I would think would be important to NFL teams out there?
Yeah. Yeah, especially because the NFL, your goal is to play through, the middle of February. So, the odds that, if you're in the AFC, you have to go play a playoff game in Buffalo or NFC and, in Green Bay or Kansas City, all of these places that are outdoor, in December, January, February, bad weather. Yes, I love the opportunity to go out there and just put, some film, like good film, play well in bad weather, just be like, I can do it. Well, I trained in the offseason in San Diego, so that doesn't give coaches, I'm sure, a lot of confidence in my ability to play in bad weather. So, yeah, to your point, it was pretty nice to be able to put that on film and be like, yep, no, we can do it in bad weather just as well as we can in good weather. So it was a lot of fun.
You mentioned training in San Diego. You're originally from Wisconsin, Sun Prairie to be specific, played your college football at Minnesota State and Concordia, St. Paul, and Cal Lutheran. Was that what got you to California? How did you end up making San Diego the offseason home?
2020. It was a little bit thanks to COVID. So 2019 played at Concordia, St. Paul, and then the 2020 season, the 2020 rolls around. COVID happened, shutdowns in March. Spring ball's canceled. Classes go online. And then throughout the summer, and then that summer, a kicking coach in Minnesota by the name of Chris Hughes, good guy, good coach, he got a couple of us local specialists in Minnesota and Wisconsin, just to take a little week trip out to San Diego to go train with John Carney and Nick Novak. And so I went out there for that week, you know, enjoyed it, but snapped well enough to where John Carney, you know, pulled me aside, like, hey, you got a shot at this on Friday once you come out with my free agents instead of the college guys and give it a shot. And I did that, loved it, saw the environment that those guys work in. And then, you know, a little down the road that summer of 2020, the Division II season gets canceled. Right. And so now I'm sitting here at a crossroads. I think I was like 23 or 24 at the time, still playing college ball. And it was pretty much, you know, the other side of this line is taking football very seriously. And where I'm at right now is like, well, not sure. Do I get my degree? Do I move on? And with the season being canceled, I just kind of stepped over that line blindly, moved out to San Diego so I could train with John full time. And then 2021 rolled around and just getting recruited, looking to transfer. And Cal Lutheran, they ran a pro style punt. So instead of a college spread punt where I'd snap and cover, Cal Lutheran, I was able to snap and then block. And it was kind of nice after training a year with, you know, the pros, the free agents, to go back to Division III and get my first reps running pro style punt, which then led me to my pro day at San Diego State. And then, you know, the pro stuff started falling after that. But it was getting year round training with big names like John Carney and Nick Novak that drew me to San Diego.
It's a cool story. Always kind of enjoy hearing how people got to places where they go. From a team standpoint, you guys open up the postseason. You got to play DC again. I know this past week nobody showed much of anything. How do you go about, and how does the team go about approaching a second straight matchup against the same team where the stakes are very different this upcoming week than what they were this past weekend?
Well, I think that's where like the rain might help. As a lot of you guys might know, last year, you know, we had a similar scenario with San Antonio. We played San Antonio week 10 and then played them immediately after in the playoff, and it didn't go very well for us. Well, this year with the rain last week, I mean, you know, game plans are kind of not really thrown out the window, but not only are you keeping it vanilla if you don't want to show them too much, but like you can't really show a full offense in that type of weather. So it does mentally kind of give a separation for that game from this week's game to the point where it's, you know, it last week's out of mind. You know, it's kind of one of those anomaly games. Like, all right, pouring rain, we got the W. Forget about it. Let's on to this one. And then the other aspect of DC just being a rival. You know, just don't like those guys. Haven't since it started. And back in the XFL, you know, we're division rivals, and they got us twice that year. So it's I don't know. It just feels a little easier to separate these two games. Week 10 in playoffs than it was last year with San Antonio. So I think a lot of guys are excited to go out there and get a W and finally, you know, cross that bridge and bring a championship home.
I know you guys are going to play the game in St. Louis no matter what, but was there a certain level of pride that went along with just finishing it off and really, you know, legitimately winning the conference where it would have been a home game no matter what?
Oh, yeah. No, it definitely was, especially losing to D.C. earlier in the season. A lot of guys just, you know, like you said, pride. You know, you don't want to give up two to the same team in 1 year, let alone a division rival, and for, you know, the title of conference champ. So there was a lot of pride on the line, and then a little bit of freedom, you know, with the game not necessarily having a ton of implications on playoffs. Guys were able to play loose. You know, you weren't as concerned about the weather. You're not as concerned about, you know, missing something. You just go out there and play free, and usually when guys play free and loose, you know, you play better. So it was a good little equation for us to go out there and play hard, play well, and beat a good football team.
Battlehawks in action Sunday night. That's going to be a 5:00 start over at the Dome. Tickets are available. Head to the Battlehawks website, theufl.com, and get to the Battlehawks page. You can go to their schedule page and then click the buy tickets, and they're right there. And hopefully it is a full house coming up on Sunday night. Alex, really enjoyed this conversation. Thanks for taking the time, and hopefully you guys have a couple more wins before all is said and done this year.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. Make sure you guys come out on Sunday at 5:00. Ready to beat DC.
Awesome. Very good. That's Alex Matheson. He is a long snapper with the Battlehawks. Top long snapper in the league, according to the UFL All-League team, which came out earlier today. We're going to switch gears, get back into Cardinals baseball when we return here in just a moment. A new edition of Cardinals Magazine available, and one of their writers, Mark Emmert, is going to join us, talk through what is in this month's edition. That's up next on a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. We have you for a full 2 hours tonight, taking you till 8 o'clock because no Cardinals baseball. Cardinals, they will get back at it tomorrow. It's going to be a fun night at Busch Stadium tomorrow. A couple things going on. Cardinals, obviously, back in town. They're playing an interstate rival as the Kansas City Royals come to town. You would expect some folks from Kansas City will make the trip across the state. And then also, Kansas City has one of the top prospects in baseball. MLB Pipeline has them as the number 10 prospect. I believe Jack Caglione is going to be making his Major League debut. So going to be a fun weekend. When you're at the game, head on over to the stands where the stand where you can pick up a scorecard, a media guide, or a copy of Cardinals Magazine, a new issue available. And we're very happy to talk with Mark Emmert. He is a senior writer with Cardinals Magazine, joins us right now. Mark, appreciate the time as always. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Matt?
Doing all right. You had the cover story on this month's copy of Cardinals Magazine where you got into Lars Nootbaar. And one of the key points of the story is there was a mission that Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol gave Lars Nootbaar right before the season got started. Can you, without giving too much away, because we want people to pick up the magazine for sure, can you talk through what you learned when it comes to that?
Yeah, and I don't think it's a big secret that Lars Nootbaar is a really, really good leadoff hitter because he's so selective at the plate, has kind of otherworldly skills in that sense. And, it was in Memphis, the final exhibition game of the season, and you were there. I know to call it. I listened to you on the radio. You did a great job. And Ollie called Lars in his office and said, "You're going to be my leadoff guy every game this year." Last year, that had been Mason Wynn at the end of the year, as you know, and Mason had a little bit of a rough spring. Lars had a really nice spring, and he's done a great job in that leadoff spot. I think he's a perfect fit up there at the top of the lineup with Mason right behind him, and then Donovan batting third. That's been a really, really nice mix for the Cardinals this year.
Yeah, his last couple of weeks, notwithstanding where he slumped a little bit, you look at his profile as somebody who can get on base but can also slug a little bit all at the same time. He's not going to give at bats away. He's going to make pitchers certainly work. He's going to draw his walks. He did that at a historic pace in the first month of the season. There's so many things that Nootbaar being in that leadoff spot has kind of helped unlock. And, beyond Nootbaar, then more recently going into the number two spot, there's just been different areas of this lineup where it feels like putting guys in certain positions has unlocked certain parts of the lineup.
Yeah, and I know Ollie really likes that left-right-left combination to start off that lineup with, and it's obviously he's got the three right guys there. And, Nootbaar leads the team in home runs and runs scored and walks and so many categories, and it's just been good, I think, for Cardinals fans to see him healthy for a long stretch. I mean, that's kind of been his biggest issue in the past, and he even mentioned that his goal is to play 150-plus games this year because that's one thing he has not accomplished yet, and he thinks that's what he owes his team.
All right, let's get into some of the other things that are in the magazine. And you and Elizabeth and Stan, I mean, you guys just do a great job putting together Cardinals Magazine, and especially during the season where you guys are putting out new issues on a very quick turnaround. It seems like just about every month. Lots of great stuff in this current issue edition that's available. Talk to me a little bit about Nolan Arenado's pet peeve when it comes to people handling his glove.
Well, he's not a big fan of it for one thing, but that's actually a very interesting feature we have in this issue. It started way back in spring training. Major League Baseball had an initiative this year where they wanted to talk to a bunch of players across the league about their very first glove, the first glove they got when they were a child, what they remember about it, what was special about it. And so we kind of took that idea and expanded on it and talked to some of the current Cardinals about what it is about their current glove, why they chose the model they do, what kind of how they personalize it. And Stan McNeil interviewed Nolan. Of course, Nolan was happy to talk about his glove. He loved that conversation. And he does not like anybody putting their hands in his glove. He said it's okay if you pick it up and touch it, but don't put your hand in there. That for some reason really kind of creeps him out. And of course, we did not put our hand in his glove. We respected that wish. Sonny Gray says, "Hey, you can put your hand in my glove. I'm not a weirdo about it." So different guys have different kind of feelings for that part of their glove. But also, I thought it was interesting just to talk about these guys, about how they personalize their gloves, how they break it in. Stubby Clapp is kind of the unofficial glove breaker in around the team, he told me. And that involves a microwave, of all things. Don't try that at home, but that's one little technique that he uses. And so it's just a lot of really interesting information about gloves. If you really are into gloves, and who isn't, we talked to six current Cardinals about their glove, all about their glove, and including their first glove they ever had as a child as well.
I'm kind of Team Arenado on this one. Like sometimes, you know, when Pajes played second base earlier this year, he had to use somebody's glove. And like that's a sweaty hand that's in like my glove. I don't want some other guy's sweat all inside my glove. Maybe I'm being a little something about that, but I think I'm Team Arenado on this one.
I think maybe they should wear a glove over their hand while they put it in your glove. I think maybe that's the secret there, right? Like a surgeon.
Yeah, they got athletic trainers. Hey, Chris Conroy, can I get a glove, man? There you go. That's the way it should work. It's like COVID era rules when it comes to glove or something. Yeah,
I like it. I don't want the hygiene.
Now, is it in the same story where you guys talk about the personal messages that are stitched on some of the gloves?
Yeah, and I didn't really realize how much care these guys put into those messages. Like, Victor Scott II has been using the exact same glove he got when he first signed with the Cardinals after they drafted him, which I was surprised the glove lasts that long. But some of those guys can keep him going for a while, and that's been like 4 years now. That's that baby blue thing that you've seen him wear. And he's got on there, "Love you, Ma," of course. Mm. And then also GGAC, which stands for God's Grace and Covering, which is a statement that he makes to his parents and they make to each other whenever they end a phone conversation. So those two things are on his glove. Of course, Lars Nootbaar has the very bright green Mizuno. I think he's the only player on the team that wears a Mizuno. And it was handmade for him this year, which, of course, speaks to his Japanese heritage, which means a lot to him. And he's got his grandfather's name, Tetsuji, stitched in Japanese lettering. Hmm. So it's actually the Japanese word for his grandfather's name, which means a lot to him. So all these guys find little ways to make their gloves personal, and they shared those with us. And I think that's a really interesting part of the story as well.
You guys talked to Victor Scott II a little bit, and he talked about his favorite pregame ritual. Can you share that with us?
Yeah, we also call him Argo. I don't know if you're aware of that, but those of us in the know that that's actually his stage name. But, before every game, he likes to kind of keep it quiet. He thinks, you know, once he's got all his work in, he likes to just kind of take some time to meditate and pray. He says a prayer before every game, and then he also sends a Bible verse to both his mother and his girlfriend before every game. That's part of his pregame ritual, which I thought was very moving.
Yeah, that's very, very cool. Last thing, and we don't want to give too much away. We want people to pick up the magazine or get a subscription to it. But you guys did a feature on the backstory behind Mitch Harris, and when he debuted in 2015, was an absolutely incredible story when he became the first graduate of the Naval Academy to play in the big league since 1921.
Yeah, and that's actually a story that I wrote, and I was going to do that anyway this year because it's the 10-year anniversary. So I just kind of like did a little research on Mitch and found out that he was a financial advisor down in Atlanta. Didn't think a lot more about that at the time, and then I was on the winter caravan with him this year, as it turned out. And he's wonderful on those events. The fans just love him. And he told me he's got a book coming out, and so we sat down and talked more about the book, and it turns out it's actually a very, very kind of deep and personal message that he has in there. A lot of things that he went through on his journey from, you know, Naval Academy graduate. It took him 5 years of Naval service before he could play professional baseball again. He was worried that he was never going to get his chance. Of course, you know, he was 29 years old by the time he debuted, which is ancient for a baseball player, young for us, but for those guys. And so I think I did share a little bit of that in the story. I guess I'll leave that as a little bit of a mystery. He also has a book coming out in about a month or so. He's going to be in town actually this week. He'll sign some copies of a magazine for us that we'll give to select readers that are lucky enough to buy that copy of the magazine. And I'm really looking forward to seeing him again. He's really, really a wonderful man. But his journey was not exactly the feel-good story that we all thought it might have been at the time. And that has a great ending, but there was a lot that he had to go through to get to that point. So he's telling that story now. He's opening up about it. And I think people will really enjoy reading that.
It's all part of this month's Cardinals magazine. It's I mentioned it's available at the ballpark. If you go up to the stands where they got the scorecards and the media guides and everything, get yourself a Cardinal magazine. You can also get yourself a subscription. What are all the various ways that either you can pick up a single copy, Mark, or like I said, just make sure that you don't ever miss a copy by making sure that you're subscribed to it?
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, we do have a stand at the ballpark where we sell all our products. We'll have a yearbook coming out in about a month. Two people can definitely want to stay tuned for that. And then, cardinals.com/magazine. You can buy any back issue. You can subscribe to a year there and get some free perks that are, I think, pretty handy. And we will mail that right to your house. In fact, I think this issue came up today. I found out my mom got hers today. So they're in the mail. We'll send them right to wherever you want it to be mailed to.
Is the yearbook done, or are you guys still putting the finishing touches on that?
We're putting the finishing touches. We're looking for about a June 30th release date. And I can tell you that if you're a fan of Willie McGee, this will be a must-have memento. Okay.
That's one of the, you guys do an amazing job with all the publications, the magazine, the calendar, everything. But that the yearbook and everything that you guys do, and it really is a yearbook because you guys spend just about the entire year working on it. But that is that's always just a fantastic thing that you guys do every year. So looking forward to that as well.
Well, thank you so much. We always appreciate your support, Matt. In fact, we had a staff meeting yesterday, and we've decided you are now officially a friend of the magazine.
Oh, okay.
I will bring you a copy to the clubhouse tomorrow.
Awesome. Please. Perfect. Do I get a business card that says Matt Pauly, friend of the magazine?
Matt, come on. Now, don't push it. This is all new to us. But okay. We'll bring it up at the next meeting.
Perfect. Mark, always appreciate the time. We'll see you at the ballpark this week.
All right. Thanks so much, Matt.
All right. Very good. That's Mark Emmert. He is a senior writer with Cardinals Magazine. Great stuff coming up in this month's edition, and you'll definitely want to check that out for yourself. One more break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up this edition of the program as we continue on with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left here in this edition of the program. This is our only Sports Open Line this week because we've got Cardinals baseball playing evening games for the next four nights. They'll play Kansas City for the next three, and then they'll welcome in the Dodgers for a big weekend series beginning on Friday night. So it's going to be a fun week of baseball at Busch Stadium. We mentioned that Jack Caglione, one of the top prospects in baseball, he's getting called up by Kansas City, will presumably make his major league debut coming up tomorrow evening. Andre Pallante against Michael Lorenzen. Maybe I'm crazy here, but I like that matchup for the Cardinals. I like Pallante more than Lorenzen. The final day, I think Matthew Liberatore is going to have a bounce back, even pitching against Seth Lugo in the series finale. So I feel pretty comfortable with that one for sure. So we'll see. We'll see what happens over the weekend. But the pitching matchups are fine for the Cardinals going into it. Wanted to mention one non-Cardinals baseball story before we get out of here. And there's a life lesson here. The life lesson is don't get drunk and do stupid things. Because that's what some person in some other country did, but it impacted somebody in the United States, a baseball player, in a pretty major way. If you've not followed along with this story, Lance McCullers Jr. is a pitcher for the Houston Astros. And he was out for about 2.5 years due to injury. And McCullers has always been known as being like a really good dude. And he rehabbed an injury and eventually got back after 2.5 years. In his second game since returning from that absence, he gave up 7 runs in the first inning. So what ends up happening? The stupidest thing in the world happens. He starts getting death threats on social media. And one of the death threats said that they were going to find his kids and murder them. So just horrible things being said. And McCullers told the Associated Press that when his wife was talking about those threats on the phone, his 5-year-old daughter overheard the phone conversation. So when he got home that night, his 5-year-old came up and started asking him questions about what are threats, who wants to hurt us, who wants to hurt me, yada, yada, yada. As a father of a 6-year-old daughter, that hits home with me a little bit because I know the kind of questions that you can get asked as a dad, and sometimes you just don't have answers for them when they're coming about real world type stuff. Well, this had been investigated. Kyle Sixta, here's what they found out. It was an intoxicated bettor located overseas who had been betting on Astros games, lost money, and when he was drunk, decided to start sending death threats to Lance McCullers.
That's just horrible.
It's terrible.
So bad.
It's terrible. And They haven't said what country this person is in or anything like that. Really, the being drunk thing, like, it's been a really, 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 really long time in my life since I've had enough alcohol to be that way. But at my worst, I'm not sending death. Like, you do stupid things when you've had a couple drinks too many. You don't send death threats. This is ridiculous.
That's so ridiculous. That's so far past the line. That's not what people do. People have to be better.
Yeah, and you can't use being drunk as the excuse.
No, not at all.
You can. That's what this better tried to say it. The man reportedly apologized and asked that his apology be relayed to McCullers and his family, and the case does remain open. Charges are being considered. I'm sure the person being in another country adds something to this that makes it more challenging, but just... a terrible story and a reminder that you should never do anything even in the same neighborhood as that story. We will call it a day for the program. We've got a replay of the Gas House Gang. That's on the way next right here on KMOX.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.